Welcome to the In Your 20s podcast, where we figure out what the f- we're doing in our 20s.
Live from New York City, this is In Your 20s. What's up, guys? It's your girl, Tina, with an age back with another episode of the pod. And that is right, I am recording this intro from my apartment in New York. I moved to Midtown East. I'm living with three people. You guys are going to meet my roommates eventually on the show. And we're also going to record an episode with my prior roommate, Dina, who I always talk about, just to kind of give you guys more context as to why we're not living together and everything. But that is coming later, because right now on the show, I'm joined by Chelsea Vaughn, who you guys may know from Instagram or The Bachelor season 25, aka Matt James's season, or from Bachelor in Paradise season 7. While we do talk about Bachelor, Bachelor Nation, her experience on the show, what life's like now for her, we also talk about how she got into modeling. And when that point in her career, we discuss why she decided to leave corporate America, how she set herself up for success, along with what it takes to build thicker skin, not just for modeling, being an influencer, and the tools you need in order to build a thicker skin. Chelsea, it was so fun. It was such a great conversation. We talked about relationships, what she's doing next. We really hit on so many topics. So I'm just going to let Chelsea take the wheel and let's get into it.
I'm really excited for today's guest, not only because we're dressed the same, like we did not plan this, but I feel like that just means we're on very much the same wavelength. I'm so excited to introduce to you guys Chelsea Vaughn. Hey, Chelsea.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so thrilled to have you on because, girl, let me just say I've been, okay, guys, I don't know if you heard that, but it's downpouring right now in Hoboken, thunderstorms. So by all means, if you hear that, I'm sorry, I'm not Mother Nature. We're just going to roll with it. But Chelsea, I have been watching you since, that sounds so creepy, but since Bachelor 25, that was the season you were on, right?
Yes, I was on Matt James' season. So that was last year. Yeah, so last year.
Does it feel like it's only been a year? Does it feel like decades?
It literally feels like it was so long ago. To say it was last year and Paradise was last year, it feels miles and miles away.
And I can only imagine that so much has happened. I personally am not someone who watches The Bachelor often, but my roommate was like, Tina, Monday nights are reserved for Bachelor. I don't care what you want to watch, but we're going to watch this. And I was like, you know what? I am so down. And your outfits, I feel like everyone says this, your outfits were the best of the best that season.
Thank you. That's such an honor. Yeah, no, people were like, you're the best dress of the season. A lot of the girls in my season were like, stunning and really good. I personally think Brie was like giving me a run for my money. She's a really good, really good fashion sense. But yeah, I appreciate it. I know my dress got a lot of attention, so that was cool. And then it was the first Black Bachelor. Like our cast was so diverse. It was just a cool season to be on.
I think that was a selling point as to why I was like, okay, I'm going to give this season a chance because I had only watched maybe a couple ones like before that. But before we get more into like Bachelor, what you're doing now, your career, everything. I would love, this is something that I ask all of my guests. And so I'm going to ask you as well. How old are you? And what's a random fun fact that you've learned in your 20s?
I'm 29. Not for long. I'm turning 30 next month, but I'm still in my 20s right now, guys. Random fun fact that I learned in my 20s. Jesus, I feel like I've learned so much in my 20s. I think maybe just like a lot of my opinions and things that I was very sure about were not actually true. And I really didn't know what I was talking about. Like, I think things that I wholeheartedly believed, like with my full chest in my early 20s, that I was like, I'm not wrong. This is just how things go. And I'm a Virgo. Like, I'm just very stuck in my ways. Like, I have opinions, I stick to them. That's just how I am. And I think now in my late 20s, I've learned and I'm still learning that everything I thought to be true in fact is not actually. So it's an interesting lesson for me, but I think it's just like gone to show how much I've grown and changed in the past 9 years. Yeah, it's cool just to see like things that you thought were 100% true, you could see from a different perspective. And that just comes from like meeting new people and traveling and learning and living. But yeah, that's one thing I learned.
as you were saying that, I was like, oh, I know this great quote. And then I realized it's literally from the Wizards of Waverly Place theme song. Everything is not as it seems.
It's not as it seems, yeah.
I'm also very stuck in my ways. If someone tells me that I'm wrong, I will go out of my way to prove to them that I'm right.
Yeah.
It's something that now that I'm like consciously aware of it, I'm trying to pull back and not be like, no, I don't have to always be right. But it's hard, especially when you, like, depending on how you've grown up and the values that you have and the way that you've always seen the world, when someone comes and tries to disrupt that, and I don't mean disrupt in a negative way, but shows you a new perspective, then you're like, wow, wait, maybe this isn't the way that I was always supposed to see the world. Like,
right. And it's not, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go for
it. It's not like I always had to be right or have to be right. It's more like I had decided things and then now have realized the things I decided weren't, I don't feel the same way anymore. Like, I had just decided my opinion about certain things and now my opinions have changed.
It shows the growth.
Yeah, for sure.
So before we get into bachelor talk and paradise talk, I want us to go back a little bit. You were working in corporate America and then you were like, nope, I'm going to quit my job and pursue a career in modeling. What was the point in your corporate job where you were like, I'm done. I know that I need to switch careers.
So I got my degree in fashion merchandising. And so I always wanted to like move to New York, either to model or to work in fashion. So when I first got here, I didn't have a job yet. And I was just trying to go to some modeling agencies while I was still flexible with my schedule and see if maybe I can get signed or like maybe something could happen. I could get discovered or whatever. And then I needed money and a job. So I started working in a corporate office. And this is like a very normal career path for my degree. And I liked it. I still like being around fashion and I like being in a creative field. But fast forward a few years and I was at this job that I just hated. Like, I was an assistant buyer. I hated my boss. I hated the environment. The company owners I thought were shady. Like, it was just not a good vibe. And so I think that was the moment that pushed me, because it was like, I was at a company before this where I was pretty comfortable and chill. And if I had stayed there, I think I probably wouldn't have made the leap to modeling. But because I had left and gone to the company that I hated, it forced me out of there because I knew I was leaving one way or the other. So I was like, okay, I'm going to leave and either get a new job in the same field or an area or whatever, just a different company, or this is feels like my last shot to try and go full into modeling. So I was like, let me just do that. And then I can always go back to the corporate world. Like, my experience isn't going anywhere. My degree is not going anywhere. So like, now is the time. So it was that turning point of just like hating my job. That was like kind of a blessing in disguise, because it forced me to be like, I'm going to quit regardless. So I might as well try.
Did you give yourself a time frame in terms of, okay, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to give myself 4 months to try and see if modeling works out? Or were you more go with the flow, see what might fall into your lap, so to speak?
I definitely gave myself a time frame just because financially I had to have one. So I didn't just quit with no backup plan and no money. Like, I saved up a lot of money before I quit. And then I had about enough money to last for a few months. So that was my timeline. It was like, okay, once you start getting a little on money, you're going to have to get another job. So I quit in like late August or September, I think. And I think I got signed in like November, December or something to an agency. So it was really right around that time period where I was running out of money. But also, like, when you first get signed to an agency, everyone thinks, oh, you get signed, like, you made it, you're done, you're a supermodel. But there's a lot of like startup things. Like, you have to start shooting your portfolio and you have to do your test shoots and do your digitals. And then you have to like do all this stuff before you even start making money with that. So I had like a little temp job in the meantime, but the temp job was super flexible. So I was able to sort of go to castings and stuff until it really started taking off.
That's awesome. I think that's such a, it's a myth that you just debunked, because as far as I'm concerned, the only thing I know about modeling is what I've seen on America's Next Top Model. So I'm like, yeah, I know that they have to go sees and things like that, but I don't know much else about it. So there is, you still have to have other job, like a side hustle, as you're starting to get into this field of work. Are there any other misconceptions about models that you like, you want to debunk right now?
Oh yeah, there's plenty. I think most models that I know and most models all the time have another job, if not two. And so it's a very small percentage of people that are just working consistently and making enough money to pay their New York City rent on modeling alone until you're like very big. And even so, like in New York, it's mostly like fashion, high fashion and editorial modeling. Those jobs don't pay a lot of money, and runway don't pay a lot of money. So even if you're doing a lot of them, you're not making enough to probably survive here. So it's really like the more commercial jobs. If you start booking those, which a lot of those are based in LA, they're bigger paychecks, $2,000 or whatever. If you book a campaign, it could be like $10,000, $20,000, something.
A commercial job, what's like an example of that?
It could be a literal commercial, like a Target commercial, or it could be like a ad for H&M or something.
Gotcha.
That's considered commercial. But yeah, so I was doing a lot of runway. Like I did some beauty, some bridal, which runway is really fun, but it doesn't pay well at all. And it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Like you go to a bajillion castings. Like before COVID, I used to go to like, I don't know, I think the most I went to in a day was like 9. So it's like very America's Next Top Model in that sense. But it's only like a couple of weeks leading up to Fashion Week. But during that, like a few weeks, you'll go to 40, 50 castings and you'll book 3 to 5 shows if you're lucky. Like that's pretty successful if you book like a few shows from all those castings. You just have to go and put all your time and energy and effort into all these things. And then you have a very small return. And then you like go do hair and makeup and do the whole thing. And you're there pretty much the whole day for a show for the 2 seconds that you walk out on the runway. And it's really fun. It's just not reasonable to live off of.
It's not as glamorous as everyone thinks it is. And as you said, 9, as someone who hates commuting, I'm moving to New York. By the time that this episode comes out, I will be living in New York, but I'm not the type. I don't like walking. Give me a car, give me the suburbs and I'm content. So I can just only imagine trying to go to 9 different castings, having to take the subway because Uber's expensive as fuck right now, as we all know. Like it is a lot on your plate. Here's my question. When you're on these castings, are there any times where you just like start to get really down on yourself because you have these people constantly looking at you, constantly judging you? And do you ever get in your head thinking like, why wasn't I picked when I thought I was a good fit for this?
Yeah, for sure. It's like as much a mental game as it is like a physical one for modeling. It's really tough. I think because I started so late in my life, like most models start out like at 15 or 16 or 17, whatever. By the time I actually started, I was at 20. So I already feel like I had a good mental healthy relationship with it because I knew I couldn't take it personally. But when you're very young, like a lot of these girls are, it's very hard to not take it personally when people are looking you up and down and just saying no. Like you don't even get a reason. Like they just look at you and they just say, no, thanks. Sometimes they don't even say anything. You just go there and you plan for it all day. And if it's a situation where it's fashion week and you go to 6 castings back to back and it's just no, 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 it's brutal. But yeah, I've gotten in a place where like, and a lot of models have, you just have to have a thick skin. It's just part of the job. And just because you didn't get that casting or that whatever, you didn't book it, doesn't mean it has anything to do with you at all. Like you just didn't happen to be what they were looking for that day. And that's fine. Move on. You can book the next one. And yeah, you just kind of have to look at it like that because it's sometimes you'll go to a casting for the same person, the same casting team, the same designer 5 times and the 6th time you book it. So it's just what they're looking for creatively in that specific moment on that specific day. And then you'll have other people tell you like, oh my God, you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. I can't wait to book you. We're going to do this, this, and this. And you just never hear from them.
Oh, that's not how so I thought. It's just,
no. And then like other people will look you up and down, won't even say a word to you, send you on your way, and then you book it. So it's just, you never really know what they're looking for. You just have to walk in there and give it your best. And you can't change, you really can't change what you look like. So
I love the kind of,
but like you just get, you can't take it personally. Like that's just the industry in that way. So it is tough to be in for a long period of time. And I think it is tough for people that are younger. Because there's a lot of agencies that are toxic and will tell you, you need to have your hips be 34 inches, do whatever you need to do to get it that way. Don't eat, run every day, lift any weights. And that's gotten better, I think. But there are definitely still some agencies that are pretty toxic.
That sounds toxic. And as you were describing this entire thing, I was like, ooh, child, I could not survive.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. It's cool and it's fun. And it's just, I think right now I'm at a place now where I'm more like, I just don't care like that anymore. Like when I was younger, I had this fire inside of me because I was just like, oh my God, I want to model so bad. And I'll do anything it takes. And now I'm like, I will not do anything it takes. Do not, don't tell me to stop eating and make my hips. I'm a grown woman. I'm 29 years old. My hips aren't going to be that small anymore. These are childbearing hips now. We're done. So I'm just like, yeah, it's not the same for me anymore as far as like the drive goes. So I'm just like, yeah. But that's why I'm kind of trying to pivot and move the career into something else. But
oh, yeah. What might that something else be?
Get like, well, a I just want to continue to lean into things where I actually have a voice and can use it because I do have something to say. I do have an opinion and a point of view and a good one, I think. And I think a lot of the industries that I've been in my career so far, I haven't been allowed to or like given the space to speak, like including modeling, including like fashion industry. Like you start out entry level and there's all these higher ups and everyone's like elitist and thinks they're better than you. And you're just an assistant. So you're not allowed to speak or have an opinion. Yeah. And the modeling agencies, it's just, oh, you're a model. You should just shut up and look pretty. And then even going in like The Bachelor and stuff, it's like, I felt like I was a character, which was the runway model. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. I get it's a TV show. Everyone has a little character that they're made into. Cool. But it was just like, I didn't really get to speak on that either. I barely got airtime. Even if I got to speak, it was like, I don't know. I just feel like I was always runway walking or giggling. And it's like, okay, I do have a personality aside from being a model. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet. I have a couple of ideas that I can't share yet. But yeah, it will be something where I actually can share my opinion and voice. And just, I don't know. I always want to use my platform to empower women and empower women of color, Black women specifically. So anything where I can lean into that and make people feel more seen and heard, that's what I want to do.
Well, I even noticed with your like AMAs and when you're like, oh, guys, I want to help and give you some advice on your stories. You're great at giving advice. I was tapping through last night.
Thank you. I think I might have to make the advice column semi-regular because so many people messaged me for advice on like very heavy topics that I was not expecting. And I was just like, oh shit. Gosh. Like, I thought we were just fucking around. Like, I thought we were just going to be like, yeah, like, what should I do? I really like this boy. Like, no, people were saying, asking for advice on all these things. And I was like, oh my God, like, now I feel like I have this power. I can't say, it's a weird position to be in because I'm like, I want to give people advice. This is my page. I can say whatever I want. It's my opinion.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it almost feels like people are like, they need it. And they're like looking for someone to help them. And I don't want to abuse that power in any way by being like, this is what you should do. I don't want people to take everything I say as like fact.
Yeah. Also, you can only fit so much text in that little question box.
Yes.
So you're never going to know the entire story. So it's just that surface level. Granted, the way that you're talking, it seems like people are going pretty deep underneath right. The surface.
People need a lot of advice. So I'm probably going to make it a semi-weekly thing. But I do like to talk to the people that follow me and feel more connected to them. So I try to do something like at least once a week where I can show my face and like answer questions or whatever.
Do you ever feel pressure? Because now that you've got this massive platform, because let's be honest, Bachelor Nation, probably the most, how do I say this without people yelling at me? The most intense, loving fandom on TV, where it's like, they always have opinions. They always want to know what's going on in your life. How do you balance that where you give advice, but you also like, you know, that in the back of your head, there is someone or multiple someones who might have a different opinion than you and might want to try and pull you down.
Yeah, I feel pretty lucky because I feel like the community that I've built on my page is very supportive and not toxic. I know there is a lot of people in Bachelor Nation and there is a darker side. Intense is a good word for the fandom because even if it's love, it's intense. And even if it's hate, it's intense. It is interesting to just be thrown into that because I had a couple thousand followers as a model, but obviously it was nowhere near this level now. And it just happened so quickly. It wasn't like I built a following from the ground up over years and years. It all just came at once. So it is intense. I try to be very mindful about what I say and the fact that I know people are listening and look up to me in that way. So I'm very careful about what I post. But it is a fine line between like, it's my page. Like, I just want to post what I want. Like, everyone else can fuck off. Or or being mindful, because sometimes I'll post something and then people are offended and I'm just like, it's almost like you have to just ignore that and post whatever you want, because there will always be at least one person that's bothered by something that you said. Yeah. But I rarely have people saying negative things to me anymore at this point. A lot of the people that follow me now follow me because of who I am. Like, maybe they found me because of Bachelor, but now they've gotten to know me more, they continue to follow me because they like my content and like my personality, my vibe or whatever. Yeah, it's less dramatic these days, but it is still hard. Like, when something happens crazy in the world, like a shooting or racism or all this stuff with Roe v. Wade, people expect me to speak on every single topic. And it just puts you in a really tough position, because like, I'm not CNN. Like, I can't speak on every single topic. If I did, I would be, that my whole page would be political topics.
The Chelsea News Network.
Yeah, it would be, the whole thing would be like social justice and politics. And I also have to live my life, but then sometimes I just feel stupid, like posting unboxing and like me getting my eyebrows done when the world is basically burning. It's hard. Like, if I don't post anything, people in my DMs like, how could you post about your eyebrows in a time like this? And then if,
oh my gosh,
if I do post something, it's like, okay, great. But then there was something else. Like, you posted about this shooting and why didn't you post about this? And it's just like, I can't be everything to everyone. So that part is tough, which is why there's a bit of, on purpose, I keep a bit of a layer in between me and social media, because I feel like I have to. If I was really just truly showing up there, telling, like, some people are really great at this and share every little thought that pops into their head, and they are completely them, not that I'm not completely myself, but like just oversharers on the internet, and I've just never been that person. I get personal enough, but I'm not like super, super personal on there.
Yeah. My friends, they always like to say, Tina, you just love to move in silence. And I'm like, no, because sometimes people will randomly DM me and be like, wait, Tina, how did this go for you? Because I seem like an oversharer on the internet, where I'm like doing this, I'm complaining about this, or I was complaining about the fact that moving companies are so expensive. And I was telling them the different quotes and whatnot. But then it's like, wait, Tina, you're moving? Who are you moving in with? Where are you moving? Babes, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
You got the information that I want you to have, but there's a lot more behind the scenes that you ain't got to know about. You'll know about it when I'm ready to tell the world about it.
Right
now, my peace and my safety. But I was going to ask you, you seem very confident. And I mean that as a compliment. And we did talk about how you've developed thick skin over the years. Do you think that with being on the show, you had to get even thicker skin? Or did you feel as if you were pretty like solid before and after?
I feel like the modeling experience that I've had, because of that, it was a little bit easier for me to step into that world than some other people confidently. Of course, I was nervous, but I've never been on like national TV. I've never dated a guy with 30 other girls. Like, of course, they were like a little jitters because of that. The core of it, like me feeling good about being myself and not being manipulated by producers planting things into your head kind of thing, I was very strong in that. But I think even though I felt prepared and even though I felt confident and even though I handled it pretty well, I think there was still like an aftermath as far as mental health goes, just because it's an environment, people that aren't in it and will never be in it will never understand. And I can't even get into it because legally, I'm never allowed to talk about it. But like, it's just, you're isolated from everyone. You don't have your phone. You can't talk to your friends and family. You're with a bunch of strangers. And it's for a long period of time. So it just like that messes with your head. And then you just get thrown back out into the regular world and they give you your phone back. And everyone in your life is like, what happened? And you can't tell anyone. Like, it's just, it was a bit of a whiplash situation. So that took a minute to adjust from. But overall, I think it comes with age. Like, I was 28 when I went on the show, and a lot of the girls were pretty young and younger than me too. So I think at the time in my life that it came, it was perfect because I was like ready for it and able to handle it. I think early 20s, like, that would have been a real crazy mind fuck. It already was, but even more so.
And also in your early 20s, you're like, you're really just starting to figure yourself out as an adult, where it's like, you've got to handle your shit on your own. How old was I when I was watching it? think I was 22, maybe about to turn 23. And I would see these girls that were on your season and also like past seasons. And I'm like, they're 22 and they're ready to find a husband. And I'm like, I joke around that I'm ready to find a husband and have children like all the time. But seeing it there on TV, I'm like, that's actually, it's real. Like they're ready for that. And here I am just by myself being like, I'm still going for emotionally unavailable guys. Like I got to figure some shit out. But with your time on the show, this is a topic that I have to hit on. It's dating. So what's your dating life like now? Are you dating? Will we be seeing any, like, would you be the type of person to post like soft launches? Would you just do a hard launch? Let us know.
Dude, I feel like it's been so long since I've been dating someone that like soft launch and hard launch wasn't even really a thing. So I don't even know what I would do. Before I went on the show, I was dating and I was on like the apps because I feel like you got to be on dating apps in New York. Like how else do you meet people? I don't know. But I had been in a very long-term relationship for 5 years with a guy that I lived with. So we broke up. And then a few months later, well, I dated somebody else, but whatever, forget him.
Insignificant.
After that, I started getting on apps and stuff and going on dates again. And I had a couple of little, I wouldn't even call them situationships, but it's just, you get to that point where you really like someone and then it's been 3 months and then you kind of have to be like, well, are we going to be together or are we not? Is it going to blow up in my face? Is it going to get serious? Whatever. So I had a couple of 3 month or situations like that. And then I applied for the show. And then when I got back from Bachelor, one, I was like just trying to get my life together and figure out what the hell I was doing. But after I figured that out, I was like, okay, the reason I went on the show is because I actually want to date someone. Like, I like being in a relationship personally. So then I was thinking about getting back on the apps, but then it got too weird. Everyone knew who I was. I couldn't do anything on the internet without people like screenshotting it and putting it on Reddit. So I was just like, not going to get on Hinge because my whole profile is going to be out there. Like people were making TikToks about it. So I was just like, okay, let me see if I can get on Raya. So I got on Raya because it's like a celebrity dating app. And it was pretty disappointing for me. I don't know. Some of my friends have had success. But
girl,
like,
I'm also on Raya and I fully agree with you. Why am I paying money to not even get these dates? These people just smash.
It's worse than Hinge.
It is so bad. It's so bad. But am I still on it and am I still paying for the subscription? Yes.
No. Okay. So a couple months ago, I decided, no, we're done with that. So I canceled it. So I was like, I'm going to be paying for this. I didn't go on one single date. I could barely hold a conversation with a guy. Because you'd match with someone hot and then you would chit chat for 2 seconds. And I don't think people are on there to actually go on dates. Like, no. I think they're just on there to like see and be seen and like maybe network and to say that they're on there. But nobody was actually trying to go on a date in my perspective.
I've been on one. So I fully agree with you there.
Yeah. So I quit on Raya and I just like, no. And then I forgot about the Paradise thing. So I went on Paradise. And when I came off Paradise, it was actually worse than Bachelor, like even more people were recognizing me and kept, like and saying and then I started going on dates with people and they were like, you would think that they didn't know. And then because guys don't watch the show, you'd be surprised. Okay, there's a lot of guys and they all know someone who knows someone that watched it and they just happened to know and they told their friend they were going out with me and they're like, oh, that's a girl from The Bachelor. And it was just like every time I went out with somebody it was a thing.
It sounds messy. I was like,
okay, yeah, we're done with this. So I actively decided to stop dating. I was just like, you know what? I think, and I genuinely believe this, when you start focusing on yourself and your own shit, like this energy radiates off of you and then all of a sudden guys are coming out of the woodwork. So I'm just like, I just want to focus on myself for right now, not forever. Obviously, eventually I want to date again, but it's like, I think when I get to the point where I'm fatigued by it and I'm just like, oh, I'm done, like men ain't shit, like by the time I get to that point, I'm like, all right, I need to take a step back, chill for a second. And then when I feel like excited about it again, go back in. But yeah, I have officially removed the apps from my phone. I'm over it.
Does it feel
I'm
like
worried about myself?
Does it feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulder in a way? Because I just deleted Tinder because I said, absolutely not. I'm too old to be messing with these like 30-year-old guys who are just looking for a hookup. Like I can't do it.
Yeah, I wasn't even on Tinder that one. I never got on Tinder because it was just people trying to hook up.
So many of my friends have gotten in these really long-term relationships through Tinder, which is why I was like, oh, I can do it.
My friend too, on accident though. She really the only like the decision. It's not, oh my god, I want to be like, I want someone to be with me so bad. It's just like me being like, nah, I'm just gonna worry about myself. Yeah, that feels great. And obviously, eventually, I'm gonna date someone. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I was just over being pressed about it because I could feel myself being like, oh my god, all my friends like are in a relationship. Like, I'm the one single girl right now. Like, all my other friends like actually found love on a TV show that I was on. It was just a perfect storm of like everyone in my life, like my old friends, my new friends, my bachelor friends, everyone happened to find a relationship at the same time.
Oh gosh.
And I was just like, oh my god, like I'm done. But yeah, I know my guys out there, eventually he'll come find me. He's taking a sweet time. But yeah, I'm just gonna worry about myself and work and whatever else I'm focusing on.
Hey, that's the best thing. Also, like being single is so much fun. The only person you gotta worry about is yourself.
For sure.
Like, you can go out, you can make these plans. You don't got to worry and coordinate with someone else's schedule. So I say this as I've never been in a relationship, but I've seen my friends have to do that. So I'm like, I really want a relationship, but also I love my independence. So there's that.
Well, the key is to get someone who respects and appreciates your independence and they have their independence and you just enhance each other's lives, but you still let each other flourish alone. Like, that's the goal.
We're going to manifest. Yeah. What was it? Like in Sierra's Prayer and I think Summer Walker's album. I'm trying to manifest that. Honestly, I might have to play it after this episode. But as we wrap up and as you're approaching your 30th, because you're a Virgo, right?
Yes. My birthday is August 27th. So I'm an August Virgo coming up on my 30th. I can't believe it.
It's so exciting. As we're approaching this next decade, I would love to ask and pick your brain about what's something you wish you told 20-year-old Chelsea, 25-year-old Chelsea, and what's one thing that you hope for 35-year-old Chelsea?
Oh, wow. Okay. 20-year-old Chelsea. I was still in college. I hadn't even met my ex, my 5-year ex yet. My whole life was ahead of me. I sound like I'm 95. I think I'd probably just tell my younger self, 20-year-old self, that like, I was just so broke. Like, I was just so broke. And I feel like in college for so long, I would tell myself like, keep going, girl. Like, you're not going to be broke forever. And you're on the right path. I didn't really feel like I wasn't on the right path. But like, there were times where I was just like, oh my God, I really want to model, but I'm scared to do it. If I don't do it, I'm going to regret it. And I want to move to New York, but I'm scared to do it. I did take all those leaps. So yes, I was scared, but I wasn't scared enough to not do it. But I would tell myself like, just calm down, bitch, it's fine. Chill out, it's gonna be fine. You're on the right path, you're going the right direction, and you're gonna be successful. 25. Yeah, I had just taken the leap for quitting my job and starting a new path or whatever. Honestly, same thing. You're gonna be fine. This is the right decision. Keep going. And I'm like really excited to turn 30. I feel like everyone says 30s are better than your 20s. It's like your 20s, but with money.
Yeah, I keep hearing that too. Yeah.
And it's like, the older I get, the more I feel better. I feel wiser. I feel like I'm just continuing to thrive. I feel like blessings are coming for me, like better things keep happening. And there's nothing in my life where I've made a decision and thought like back on it, oh, I regret that. It wasn't the right move. I can't think of one thing in my life that hasn't, if it didn't work out, like it led to something better and it ended up being the right thing anyway. So yeah, for my 30s, I just want to, I don't know, I just want to be more present and also more just connected to like my inner self and my energy. Like, there's still a part of me that's trying to get over, like, as much as I am confident and don't care about what people think about me, like I care about what people think. Yeah. And people say this like about their 30s, that like, once you get in your 30s, like, you just don't give a fuck anymore. You just don't. It's just, I do whatever I want and I don't care. I'm ready to be there, like completely there. Like, I'm on the way, but I'm ready to be fully there where it's just whatever. Like, I'm doing me, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah, it's over your shoulder. You could give less of a fuck, all that.
And just keep stepping into my power. Cause I feel like I'm 1 foot in, but I feel like there's more. So I'm excited to see what that is and what that brings for me. But yeah,
that's so exciting. And happy early birthday. I might be like a month early, but it's okay. You celebrate all month long.
I'll take it. It's almost August.
Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on the show. It truly means a lot, and you have been such an amazing guest. Before I let you go, though, I need you to plug your handles, where people can find you, because, guys, if you haven't fallen in love with Chelsea during this episode, then are you okay? What's going on?
It's at Chelsea Vaughn on everything, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. There's still an underscore on TikTok, but... yeah, at Chelsea Vaughn underscore TikTok and Twitter, and then at Chelsea Vaughn on Insta. But yeah, stay tuned for more projects, more things I have coming out. I'll have more things to plug soon, hopefully.
Awesome. Guys, I'm going to make sure that all of Chelsea's links and handles are in the show notes, so go check that out. And also, please be sure to leave a review, rate the podcast, follow us on Instagram at In Your 20s. That's 20s with a Y-S, not an I-E-S. My name's Tina with an H, and I'll catch you next Wednesday.